Hi, I'm Ted Burns. I'm at the University of Virginia. Today I'm talking with Dr. Carlene Jackson from the University of Texas in San Antonio. We're going to talk about some issues surrounding pregnancy and myasthenia gravis. Carlene, are pregnant women with myasthenia likely to have any worsening of their myasthenia during their pregnancy?
Well, Ted, usually it follows the rule of thirds. So about a third of women may actually improve during their pregnancy, which means that about a third may actually have a flare of their symptoms, particularly during their first trimester. Obviously, during the second and third trimesters, any pregnant woman is going to be more fatigued, and certainly any fatigue might lead to worsening of symptoms for a myasthenia patient. So throughout the pregnancy, there may be a small risk that their symptoms could get worse.
Okay. And how about after the pregnancy and delivery? Are women more likely to have an exacerbation of their MG after pregnancy?
Yeah, I think, again, it relates to the fatigability factor. So we always encourage women to be sure that that they have lots of help and support in the home, that they try to get as much rest as they can. But certainly women with myasthenia can breastfeed and can care for their infant just like other women, but they have to really monitor how tired they're feeling and be sure that they take frequent rest periods during that time.
Do women with MG have problems with the actual pregnancy because of their myasthenia?
Well, we have some data that was published back in an old study in 2003, and they looked at 127 births that occurred in 97 different myasthenia patients. And the only complication of pregnancy that was higher in the women with myasthenia was premature rupture of the membranes that hold the amniotic fluid. But when they evaluated birth weight, age of birth, death rate of the infant, there were no differences between patients who had myasthenia versus those who didn't.
Okay, and my next question, I think you've already answered it, but I'll ask it anyway. Do women with MG have problems during the delivery of the baby because of the MG?
Yeah, in that same study, they looked at how many mothers required medications to induce labor, and there were no differences, again, between the myasthenia mothers and those who did not. There was no difference in the use of special instruments like forceps or vacuums during delivery. But what was different is that women with myasthenia were almost twice as likely to deliver via C-section. So there was like almost 18% of women with myasthenia had a cesarean section versus about 9% of women who did not. And probably this relates to the fact that women with myasthenia gravis, although they can successfully deliver children vaginally, they're more likely to fatigue, particularly during a long labor. And so obstetricians may tend to, just as a safety factor, choose to go ahead and deliver those babies through a cesarean section.
Okay. Now, do the babies ever get transient weakness related to their mom's myasthenia?
Yes, and depending on the study that you read, anywhere between 10 to 25% of babies may have a temporary form of myasthenia that relates to the transfer of the myasthenia antibodies through the placenta from the mother to the baby. But the children who have this transient myasthenia gravis certainly aren't at any greater risk for developing myasthenia later in life.
Okay, and that was going to be my next question. If babies were more likely to develop myasthenia as adults if the mother has myasthenia gravis?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
But it is very important, because the incidence is relatively high, that mothers deliver in a hospital that has access to a neonatal intensive care unit. But sometimes the symptoms can be so severe that the babies have to be on a ventilator for a period of time to support their breathing.
Okay. Now let me ask a question about medications for myasthenia and risk to the baby. What do you think is the effect of MG medications on the baby during the pregnancy?
Well, mestinon is felt to be generally safe throughout all three trimesters of pregnancy. And intravenous gamma globulin is also extremely safe. So if women need some form of medication to suppress the immune system, IVIG is felt to be probably the treatment of choice. Plasma exchange should be completely avoided during the first trimester because that can actually cause a change or a drop in the progesterone levels, which might make the mother more susceptible to premature delivery or abortion of the baby. Prednisone in general is considered relatively safe. There's a very small incidence of cleft lip and cleft palate. And certainly azathioprine or Imuran, mycophenolate, also known as Celsap, cyclosporin, should absolutely not be used since they do have a fairly significant risk during pregnancy.
Okay, so to summarize, it sounds like Mestinon, prednisone, IVIG are thought to be relatively safe, and plasma exchange during the first trimester should be avoided, and mycophenolate, also known as Celsap, and azathioprine, also known as Imuran, are two of the immunosuppressants that should be avoided,
Absolutely.
If at all possible. Okay.
Yes.
Great. Carlene, do you have any final thoughts or comments you'd like to make?
Well, I just would encourage women not to be fearful of becoming pregnant. We've certainly cared for lots of women who've had successful deliveries and healthy children, and certainly this is not a disease in which you would intentionally avoid having children. For the most part, symptoms can be managed appropriately, and I think having children is a wonderful blessing, and I hope that patients just seek appropriate medical care so that those children can be healthy.
Okay, great. Carlene, thank you very much for your time.